Chapter 48.
Of all the improbable situations Kip had found himself in during his short life, killing a king, killing a god, actually having friends, being able to jog more than a few steps without collapsing and dying of equally lethal doses of heart attack and embarrassment, this situation struck him as the most implausible yet. He was standing at the open flap of his tent with a beautiful woman who wanted him, who seemed to genuinely want him. Tysis practically glowed with pride in Kip and hunger for him. It was so weird it actually gave him pause and made him think. Thinking was clearly the enemy here. The Kuni War and ghost camps had joined together on the island, and tonight they were celebrating the end of generations of internecine strife and oppression. It was the wildest party Kip had ever seen. The kind of party where before you slipped into your tent, instead of worrying that you were going to disturb your neighbours, you worried that it might already be occupied. And Kip. God damn Kip. He was seriously considering not making love with this beautiful woman. Against every sane consideration, Kip was stuck between his pride and having some good old-fashioned dirty fun with his mind-blowingly attractive wife. Swallow your pride and take what you're given, you fat idiot. This is better than you deserve. Why can't you just enjoy it? Tysis gave a little wave and a wink to her healer friend Evie Cairn, who'd been teaching her battlefield medicine, and tugged on Kip's belt again, her other hand holding open the flap of the much larger tent the Kuni Ward had insisted on giving them.
You coming inside, or do you want to get started right here?
But then her smile faded as she saw the look in his eyes. She dropped Kip's belt.
We have to talk, Kip said.
Not words he would have ever imagined speaking. When bodies should speak, words are the enemy, moron.
This is about the Willcasters, isn't it? Tysis said.
She swallowed. She looked around guiltily, blonde hair glowing in the light of the rising moon, unwilling to meet his eyes. She ducked into the tent. It looked like flight, and it triggered a predator instinct. Kip went after her.
You manipulated me.
Her back to Kip, Tysis said nothing. She lit a lantern. It wasn't fair, but Kip wasn't reminded of Andros Guile and his thousand manipulations and machinations, his dispassionate way of fucking with everything for his own ends, even if those ends were merely his own entertainment. Instead, he was reminded of his mother. She had lied reflexively for no purpose. She manipulated him too, always, ever twisting him into guilt and shame when she could have accomplished the same ends with a simple request. Her manipulations were wanton and wounding and pointless.
You kept what they were a secret from me, even when we were half an hour from meeting the ghost's mortal enemies. I came this close to walking into a trap blind. You could have gotten us all killed. Balls, Tysis, Cruxer could have said something about willcasting heathens and I would have agreed out of hand. I feel like we just came to this new understanding, this new place, and things are so good between us, and you sided with them against me.
Whoa, Kip the lip. That got away from him a little. She said nothing. She didn't even turn around, damn her.
Turn around, he demanded.
No.
You're just like my mother, Kip said.
Untruer words had never been spoken.
You ever side against me again and we're finished.
Still not speaking, she stepped past him, averting her face and bringing a hand up to block his view, so he couldn't see her tears, no doubt, as if that very action weren't rubbing in that he'd made her cry. Mere moments after she was gone, Kip's hot blood cooled. But he didn't move. She was in the wrong. So why did he feel so wretched? Should have waited until after sex to fight. Never choose fighting over sex. He opened the tent flap, but he couldn't see her anywhere. Kip knew he should go after her. Bugger what anyone else in the camp thought of him. They were busy with their own pleasures tonight. He needed to go apologize. He needed to go tell her he was an asshole. These new clothes were too wide across the shoulders and chest, and too tight across the belly, too much effort to keep clean. Too damn grown up. Putting on Kip the screw-up, Kip the fatty, lard guile, Kip the victim who soaked up damage and mistook passivity for placidity, who thought that being imperturbable was being invincible, putting on that old Kip was like putting on his old tunic. It reeked, it was stained and dumpy,
but it was comfortable. He couldn't suck in his gut and stand up straight every day. He was a child pretending to be a lord. He could remember his mother sneering when Kip told her he'd been beaten again by Ram after he'd seemed so nice for several weeks. "Don't be a fool. No one ever changes." And then he remembered something Gavin had said after he'd assigned Kip, impossibly, to the Blackguard. "Don't decide to change. The world is full of people who have decided to change but haven't. Don't decide to change. Change. If you want to be different, act different." The bed was calling Kip to comfortable stasis and self-recrimination. Before he could think any more, he went out into the camp. But he never found her. He'd waited too long. Eventually he returned to their tent, alone. Damn it. Kip pulled out the rope spear he'd started working on to keep his hands busy. He set a yellow hood on his lantern and started once more. The color set him in balance and helped him step away from his problems as a leader and mull them over in a new way. And he actually made good headway on the project, too. Ben Haydad had pointed out jokingly that if you made the links of chains small enough, the chain rope would be as flexible as real rope. It hadn't been so simple, but after studying hemp ropes and then applying some other colors of Luxin, Kip was actually making good progress. Once he thought he heard the tent flap open, but when he looked up a moment later, no one was there. He went to bed alone, and somehow he slept until he was awakened by Kruxa. The morning was as foggy as Kip's head, and as he came to join his generals and Tysis, Kip saw why he'd been awakened. On every bank, opposite their little island, were soldiers, armed and ready for war, bearing the green boar of Irene Malagos. The Nightbringers were surrounded. "So," Kip said to Tysis, "I guess your sister hasn't forgiven us for running away."